waiting for this man Schnickel and the rest of the hunting party. But there's something about me and Jack that I don't get. Somehow linked to Straub, whoever he is.
They aren't just out hunting. Obvious. Seems no doubt they plan to try to take this Baron Wayman for what they can get. I agree with Trader. From what we've seen, they won't be too much of a threat.
Unless the Baron ain't too strong. Star House blows down easy.
The main point is whether we're likely to be in any danger. It'd be good to have somewhere to sleep. Long as we post a watch.
A few smooth bores and a Kalashnikov or two won't present much of a threat.
If I may interject, I understand that they are inviting us to share both their beds and their board. It would be churlish to reject such kind hospitality, particularly if the supper is in the same league as their bread and confitures.
All right, then. We reckon that it's worth the small risk to stay a night, then move on in the morning. And we all keep a good watch.
The group were shown to their tents. Both tents were made from a mixture of crudely woven wool and animal hides, which from their acrid smell had never been properly cured. There were piles of furs and old blankets in each tent. Ryan and Christy took the smaller of them with Mildred and JB, leaving the other larger one to be shared between Doc, Trader, Abe, Dean, and Jack. Ditchdown came around to see if they were settling in.
Good to have Outlanders with us. Schnickel's sure going to be impressed with those blasters.
He quickly moved on.
Mommy! Mommy! The hunters are back!
The children and women came out of their primitive huts and tents. Christy had tied back the front flap, trying to let in some fresher air to take away the mustiness.
Well, good morning, I guess.
The light was poised between day and night, with a ghostly mist creeping around the tops of the taller redwoods. There was no wind, the smoke from the cooking fires rising vertically into the still air, vanishing among the topmost branches of the trees. From in front of his tent, Ryan could see shadowy figures, a few on horseback, most walking toward the camp, some with muskets slung across shoulders. Several of the party had animal carcasses tied to poles. The light wasn't all that good, but Ryan thought that all of them were deer. There was no sign of the muddy pigs. JB joined Ryan.
How many?
Close to 30. Looks like only two or three with serious blasters.
I see an M16, like Trader, and another of the AKs. Which one's their chief?
Schnickel?
Probably the one on that big stallion. Fur coat, cross-belted.
Carrying a scattergun. Sawed down. Just the sort of blaster you'd take on a hunting trip.
You and me never believed that story, did we?
Mildred and Christy were also watching, the entrance to the adjacent tent crowded with Trader and the others.
Plenty of fresh meat, Dad!
That boy certainly takes after his father, doesn't he, Christy?
You mean only thinking of his stomach? You couldn't be more right.
The main meal didn't quite measure up to the delicious bread they'd eaten earlier, but what it lacked in quality, it more than made up for in quantity. The nine companions were seated at a low table, cross-legged on rush matting, with wooden dishes in front of each of them and small pitchers of beer standing at intervals. Ditchdown had gone to their tents to ask them to come and be seated, telling them that the hunt had been successful and that Schnickel and some of the older men would join them once they'd washed. Women of the tribe carried in the food, haunches of venison, slightly blackened on the outside, bloody when the knives penetrated them, and whole salmon, the skin glinting silver. The vegetables were overcooked, potatoes and carrots and black-eyed peas with a mess of refried beans. The place was lit by smoky torches, tied to long staffs of wood jammed into the dirt.
When do we start?
Wait for their leader, boy.
Food's getting cold.
You want to get to eat supper?
Of course I do.
Then sit still and keep quiet.
Hey, Ryan, here they come.
It was a tense and potentially dangerous moment. The nine companions had brought all of their weapons, including the Styron the Uzi, ready for any card to be turned up. But the 20-plus men who came striding through the camp, past the line of night fires, didn't seem any great threat. A couple had handguns at their waists, but the rest were armed only with knives. Schnickel was at their head, still wearing the thick fur coat that made him look even bigger than he was. Ryan put him at 6'3", weighing around 350 pounds. He wore crossed ammo belts over the coat. His knee-length boots were splattered with mud. The sawed-down 16-gauge Ithaca, the Model 37, was tucked into a long, greased holster, strapped onto the right side of a broad leather belt. He looked to be a few years shy of 40, with sparse, graying hair, a sharply hooked nose, and a ruddy outdoors complexion. The eyes that scanned the nine Outlanders were deep blue, set unusually wide apart. His gaze finally settled on Ryan.
You be the one called Carter, leader of this shipwreck band. And you're a traitor. I used to hear my father tell me stories about a man called Traitor. Rode with war wags and his own private army. Heard he got chilled fighting to get some rebel Comanche out along Death Canyon Road. You the same man?
Not if I got myself chilled by a band of Comanche. Plenty of men in Deathlands call themselves traitors.
That's true. And the boy with eyes bigger than his belly. Be your son, Carter?
Yeah, Dean. He's 11.
Baron Wayman has an 11-year-old. Call Jamie. Right, they say. Being trained to take over from his father.
Ah! Not if we can all get there first, eh, brothers?
You aiming to try and take this, Baron?
Why? You have a problem with that, Mr. One-Eyed Carter? Maybe you don't see things too clearly.
I heard most barons had Sekhmen. I heard most Sekhmen had better weapons than a couple of Kalashnikovs, a sawed-down Ithaca, and a few smoothbores.
So your ears work well, Carter.
So, I guess you know things we don't.
Sure, we've been around Deathlands. I seen barons whose piss would blight the land for 1,000 years. Seen barons only had to look angry at you and bullets melted in the chamber. Then again, I seen barons like Wayman, whose idea of giving you a hard time is to stop you having an extra smear of butter on your bread. Know what I mean?
A weak baron?
Sure.
Schnickel stared hard at the armorer.
You got four eyes there, friend. That to make up for Carter only having one?
So I can see properly when I have to put a full metal jacket through the hearts of bragging stoops.
Whoa back, Buck. Hold on to them horses, little dicks. Don't get your drawers in a tangle, eh? Guess it's true what they say about small men. They all got them ferocious tempers. Have to step light when this pint-sized fury's around us, eh, brothers?
Ditchdown glanced back over his shoulder and whispered something to the bulky figure of the leader.
How's that, Ditchdown? Oh, yeah. I noticed for myself. Can't hardly miss him, can you? Like having one eye froze with snow and the other burned with fire.
Schnickel smiled broadly at Jack and Christy.
So merry and so fat can ne'er live long, they say.
A man can smile and smile and still be an asshole, Doc.
So true, Madam Doctor.
Schnickel saw the exchange and hesitated, as though he were working on another wisecrack, and then changing his mind.
Food's getting colder than a snow bear's dick. Let's all sit down and eat and drink. Get to know each other better.
All right!
Dean quickly grabbed at several slices of venison from the nearest plate, then helped himself to a pile of potatoes and carrots. He ladled himself a generous portion of gravy, so rich and thick that you could have sliced it with a good knife. Ryan was about to tell the boy off for his greediness and poor table manners. Then he realized how hungry he was himself and set to with a will, generally eating left-handed, as J.B., Jack, Trader, and Abel did, so that his right hand was free to sit snugly on the butt of the Sig Sauer. But there hadn't seemed any direct threat. As far as this Baron Wayman was concerned, Ryan couldn't have cared less. Any Baron in Deathlands was fair game. That was up at the head of the list of unwritten rules. Tough Barons held their vills. Weak Barons lost everything. If this gang of brushwood heroes wanted to chance their arms, Ryan wouldn't bother to take sides, though his sympathies lay with the poor, not with the powerful.
Ryan, Jack wants to know what's happened to the man called Straub, the one we heard about when we arrived.
Ask Schnickel.
Right, I will.
I heard the name Straub in this camp. Where is he?
Everyone around the table stopped eating. Spoons and forks